Roots and Shoots with Joe and Sabrina. On Afternoons, 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
Good afternoon, Sabby.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Quite a few messages have come through on the text line already. Jen is on Phillip Island.
Oh, beautiful.
You lucky thing. But Jen wants to know, can she cut the tops off where the dead flowers were in this photo, or is it dying? She's not the sharpest tool in the shed. That's sure you are. What kind of plant is it? What should she do, Sab? She loves listening to you. It's the highlight of her Tuesday and Saturday.
Oh, that's lovely. Yes, you most definitely can. It shouldn't be deciduous. Just the heads up there. It's an evergreen. So, and it's a lily pilly. So you can prune that back. You can prune the top by a third and the sides by a third as well. It's not going to do it any harm whatsoever.
There you go. Enjoy Phillip Island. And I've got another message for you from Tim in Ardross who wants to know.
Oh.
Can you identify? Oh, that little beetle?
Yeah. It's crawled out of his immature lemon tree. I wouldn't worry about that. That's just actually an aphid, and that's a mature aphid. So you don't need to worry about him at all. He's just found a nice little hidey hole.
He really has.
Yeah.
And we're very much on a non-tree theme here.
Yeah.
But Anne in Balcatta, this little bird arrived at their back door yesterday. It's back again, and she wants to know what it is. It's very cute. What is it?
It is very cute.
It's not a baby kookaburra, I don't think.
No, it looks more like a butcher bird, a baby butcher bird. Hooray.
Let's move on because Ron is a very patient man and needs to ask his question. G'day, Ron.
Good morning. Oh, good morning. Good afternoon, ladies.
Well, you've obviously had a very short day.
No, I've been lying in bed most of the day. I've been really slack.
Marvellous.
Yeah. I've got a question with regards. What I've done is one of these barley cabinets, you know, the drawers and doors and stuff like that. I've lined it all with fiberboard and then waterproof membraned it and put soil in it.
Yeah.
And it's in a fairly shady area.
Right.
I had tomatoes grow all the way through winter last year in it, which was fantastic. But
wow.
Anything else I've had in there, that was self-seeding, so that was even better.
Yeah.
But anything else I've tried to grow in there just dies. And I'm just wondering what I could plant. As I say, it's fairly shady. It gets just sun. Well, it doesn't get any direct sun. It just gets light from, through underneath the veranda, basically. It's at the corner of the veranda, but so not actually up against the house. It's 8 feet away from the house, but it only gets that light there.
Do you want something that you can eat?
Oh, well, that'd be an absolute bonus, but just some plants, even some flowers and stuff like that.
Okay, so the violas or pinolas, the little pansies, violas,
yep,
will grow there. Lobelia will grow there. These are all annuals, but they last.
Yeah, I know the lobelia. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. Yep.
Primrose, impatiens, and they'll last for a whole year.
Uh-huh.
And you can get, you know, many different colours with impatiens.
Yep.
You could also grow heuchera, H-E-U-C-H-E-R-A.
H-U-E-C-H-E-R-I-A,
heuchera.
Uh-huh.
And plectranthus. That's given you quite a few. So
heuchera
and plectranthus are perennial, so you'll have those for 2 or 3 years, and
yep,
any of the bedding begonias.
So yes, I've tried all the begonias.
Oh, you've tried
those.
I've
put a heap of begonias in ages ago. I think the one with tubular ones, but
they're very fickle, Ron. You've picked the hardest one.
Yeah, they all died. I bought 8 of them, and they all died.
No. Go for the bedding begonias.
Any
of the others that I've given you will do well.
Good afternoon, Carmen.
Oh, good afternoon, Sabrina. Hopefully you can help me out. This is driving me mad. For 2 years now, I've been treating what I thought was rust on my Verbenum laurustina. And I've cut it back. I've followed a whole Google process of what to do and spraying it. And sure enough, I think it's rust. It comes back. The tips of the leaves are a reddy brown color.
Yeah.
And so I've been cutting it off. I'm out there even with manicure scissors. My neighbors must think I'm absolutely mad.
My goodness. My goodness.
And so I've been spraying it. I've even putting the granules in the ground to get rid of it. Cut it back, severely cut it back. And I think when I've won, boom, it's come back again.
Yeah. That's because you're treating the entirely wrong thing. Because
I think Sabrina's trying very politely to say stop what you are doing and start doing this.
Because it won't work. Because that particular viburnum, and mine gets it every year, they get absolutely hammered by spider mite. And it causes that browning on the tips and the speckled leaf. So there's a couple of things. One of them can be too much calcium uptake, or if you've got a bore and the calcium builds up on the leaf, they definitely get spider mite really badly. It lasts from summer all the way through to autumn. Now, you can use wettable sulfur to treat the spider mite and hard pruning. Now, viburnums, you can hard prune really well. So what I would do is if there's spider mite left, then spray with lime sulfur. Then 2 weeks after that, prune the viburnum. I know you've already done that, but you can prune them very hard. Then I want you to spray all the foliage with a juice. I'm going to give you a subtle hint. There is a liquid product that you can get that makes you go very fast. Hint. I want you to put that in a spray bottle and spray all of the foliage. And that should solve the problem. But spider mite will come back on viburnum, laurustinus, every year. It's a common thing. You need to get onto it quickly at the beginning of summer with your lime sulfur spray.
Let's go now to Albert in Beckenham. What's your question, Albert?
Hi, Joe and Sabrina.
Hello, Albert.
Sabrina, I want to plant a grevillea.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how I should prepare the soil, please.
Okay. Do you know which grevillea you want to put in? Do you know, or are you just going to?
Yes. It's a golden ulo.
Oh, yeah. I love that one. Now, the reason I ask that is because most of our grevilleas are hybridised now. So golden ulo is hybridised with one of the Queensland native grevilleas. So you will need to go and get some. I know this sounds really weird, but go and get.
It's unlike you to say something really weird.
No, because I'm so straight. Go and get a bag of bricky sand. And I want you to mix that
with. What was that again?
A bag of yellow brickies sand.
My God.
So you want half a bag of bricky sand and half a bag of compost. And then you're going to mix the amount, say if that makes a bucket full, then you're going to mix that with the bucket full of soil that you have dug out to make the hole. And that's going to be your 50-50 mix. So it'll be bricky sand, compost, and the soil that you've dug out of the hole in the first place to put the plant in.
Right. Sounds extraordinary.
It does. I know it sounds counterintuitive. But
trust her. Trust her. She's the gardening goddess.
Well, I experiment because I love Queensland grevilleas. And our soil is often too alkaline for them. And a lot of the bricky sand is actually quite acid. And then the compost gives it so that it slowly accepts the fact that it's not growing in Queensland. It's here in WA in our impoverished soils.
Oh, those impoverished soils. I dream of the garden in Queensland where we could grow pineapple and starfruit and bananas.
And all the beautiful tropical gingers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's not get too waylaid.
But they
by
can't
that.
Grow our banksias.
No, they cannot. I can't either.
No, nor can I. Nor can I, Joe. They just die for me.
I've got one left and it's like it's just been this big for about 3 years. I'm like, come
at
on,
least they're still alive.
A little guy, but it's not really growing. It's
not what you
stagnating.
Call not thriving.
Not thriving, that's for sure. Jeremy in Parkwood, I think, has a question about passion fruit. G'day, Jeremy.
Hello, ladies. Yes, I sent some pictures through there for you, Sab. It's my passion fruit vine that's 4 years old.
Oh,
it's flowered for the first time. I'm really excited. Mm. Some very good fruit on it, but some look a little bit on the munted side.
They do. Well, the leaves look a bit munted. Now, that munting, I reckon that's caused by the little passion leaf hopper. They're a beautiful little... Have you seen a leaf hopper, Joe? They're very small. They're only like...
Well, probably I have, but I didn't know what it was.
Well, they're 2 millimetres and they're bright green like a leaf. And I reckon the passion vine hopper's been into your fruit, which is why they've got little dimples on them.
Yeah, yep.
So they keep their wings vertical and they're
oh, I have seen these. Yeah. I do know them. Yeah.
I think that's what's caused the damage on the leaf and also on your fruit.
What does Jeremy need to do then? Go out and just squish them all?
Well, you can't because you can't even see them because they're the same colour as the leaf and they're so small. What you could do though is you can either, you know what I would do? Jeremy, because this is passion fruit and passion fruit is like gold for me, I'd actually spray with pyrethrum.
Okay.
I don't often tell people to kill bugs.
You're getting a leave pass. You're getting a leave pass, Jeremy. I'd take it and run. I would take it and run, my friend, because it really doesn't happen very often. Good luck with that. Hopefully you get some improved fruit and get rid of those little critters. Afternoon, Maeve.
Oh, Churchlands, but good afternoon, girls.
Hello, Maeve.
Hey, I've got the most terrible infestation of what I believe to be mealybugs.
Ooh.
Right through my garden.
Oh, no.
Through hibiscus, the yellow lantana, and I've tried everything from cutting off, spraying, hosing off.
There are some fabulous parasitic wasps that love eating mealybug. And it sounds to me like they've got, if you release the parasites, then...
How's Maeve going to get the parasites?
Oh, you just order them online.
Oh, there you go.
So, Maeve... Hmm. You need to Google search bugs for bugs and there are quite a few predators for the mealybug. Now, they do need a food source, otherwise they won't hang around and eat more mealybug. So if you Google looking
bugs
at...
Bugs for bugs.
Yeah, bugs to eat other bugs, they'll ask you what pest you want to control. So you type in mealybug and then they will give you a selection of predatory insects that like eating mealybug.
Yeah.
And then you let them loose.
And then you release them and let them loose. So you need to release them in the area that is has the most mealybug and then on another area of the property that's not where you've released them. The thing that works really well is, I know it's a lot of work. Well, some people think it is. I see it as play. So you get a potassium soap spray. You spray all the mealybug. Then you're going to leave it for 5 days. Then you're going to go around with your hose and high-pressure hose. 2 weeks after you've done that first spray with the potassium soap, you're going to do it again. And then 5 days later, blast it off with the hose. And then 2 weeks after that, so you need 3 successive sprays with the potassium soap spray and blasting them off with the hose.
It's called a labour of love.
It is a labour of love.
Do you reckon you're up for that, Maeve?
Where do the bugs for bugs come into that?
Oh, okay. So that's what I'm saying. We don't do that. Don't carry that out on the part of the garden, because you said they're all through the garden.
They're on a whole. I'm in a complex where there are four units down a driveway.
Right.
I'm the third unit down. It seems to have started at the side of the driveway. It's about a metre and a bit wide garden.
Right.
Where there's hibiscus, a couple of trees, lantana, hibiscus.
Right.
And it's gone about 20 metres down the driveway.
Okay, so where you release the predators, you want to give them like a 10 metre girth so that because the potassium soap will kill them as well.
And do you think Maeve needs to alert her neighbours?
Oh, yeah, but labour
of love.
Let them know.
Let the neighbours know.
Now, don't be worried about predatory wasps, because they're tiny and they're not going to sting people. They're
okay.
Tiny.
Do not need to worry about that. Let's squeeze in one more call. Good afternoon, Meg. I think Meg's in Bicton and wants a suggestion.
Hello, Meg.
Yes. Hi. I've been wanting to ask you this for ages.
Oh, ask away.
Talking about cemeteries and graves and bodies.
Yeah.
What can I plant in little terracotta pots that are already there, but there's nothing in them, on four corners of my grandmother's grave in Karakata?
Oh, that is so beautiful. So
I want to put, the pots are already there, but I've brought them home and I'm going to plant something in them. But what?
How big are they? How big are the pots?
Oh, they're the smallest terracotta pots you can get.
Okay, so the little 130 mil ones.
Yeah.
So you want something that's quite hardy then?
Exactly. Yeah, and sun gets on it in the afternoon, so imagine how hot
it's going
in summer.
Yeah. I would put in, do you know what would be lovely is just to put in some succulents.
Oh, that's a great idea, because they don't need a huge amount of water or maintenance.
And it's
and
so much
beautiful.
And Meg, so many to choose from.
And some flower and there's colour. Yeah. Does that sound like a good plan for your grandmother, Meg?
It does, but I don't know much about succulents.
Okay, so I want you to go to a nursery, not a hardware store, Meg. I want you to go to a nursery, because the thing about succulents, they have a very small root system. I want you to go to a nursery. I want you to tell them that these are to go on your grandmother's grave and they will be in these terracotta pots and they are going to lead, because there's hundreds of succulents.
And then you can, with their guidance, Meg, choose, you know, aesthetically what you like.
And, and you can get four different ones.
That's a gorgeous note to end it on. Oh, Meg, happy planting. Have fun with your succulents. Sabby, thank you as always.
It is my pleasure, Jo.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.